oh, they're like little professors. Oh, they're like little adults. I got little adult a lot.
Oh, same, dude. Self-watering plant.
Yep.
The easy one.
The easy baby. I was perfectly willing to go to my room and stay there.
Hey, Brie.
Yes.
Maddie. Have you ever been shrunken?
Not to my knowledge, but I have been convinced by medication that I was being shrunken.
Okay. Let's pretend that's real. While you were shrunken, have you ever made an oopsie? But also a poopsie?
I mean, you kind of have to if you're that little.
That's true. That's true. Well, that's good because shrunken people are children. And oopsie poopsies are things you do that are normal to you but are not normal to other people because you're neurodivergent. Hi, welcome to A Year Unhinged and easily the worst intro I've ever done on the fly.
And yet, they just keep getting better in my eyes. But yeah. Today we're going to be telling y'all some stories from our childhood and just growing up in general that were our particular brand of neurodivergence in action. Mm-hmm. I will start because I'm greedy for time. So there is a very distinct memory to me. Well, hold on. I'm trying to decide if I need to start with the memory, if I should start with some context. I guess I'll start with context. That way you'll understand the memory better. So I have, for as long as I can remember, just in general, being a person, I have mimicked other people that I saw were getting good reactions for what they were doing, basically. So if other people were laughing at them or if other people were, you know, being friendly to them because of the things that they were doing, I would take note of that, write down just about exactly whatever it was that they did in essentially in my little brain notebook. And then I would just repeat that. And I think every kid goes through that stage. Like that's a very common thing to do in childhood. It is less common to do that in adulthood. The story that I'm story I remember is basically, so I was in church choir. I was maybe like 7 or 8, something like that, I think, give or take. And there was this song that it was like a call and response. The teacher would sing, "You can ask him anything." And then all the kids would be like, "Anything?" Like, you know, questioning. And then she would say, "Anything." And we would say, "Anything" again. Like, it would just, you know, back and forth. And I noticed that there was this boy across the aisle, I suppose, from me, that would make a funny face and do a funny voice anytime he said anything. And I saw that his two friends thought that was hilarious. And so I said, "Ah, that will get my friends to like me too. Cool."
Aww.
And because I remember distinct, like, it's so vivid because of, well, it's because of, I'll tell you in a second. It's a very vivid memory. And I distinctly remember thinking that, like, ah, okay, I can do that too. And then they'll like me, because at that time, basically, a lot through my childhood, I was bullied. It petered off almost entirely in high school, but I was still just kind of odd. And so that was like, I leaned into it at that point. Like, I hardcore leaned into my weirdness because I was like, if I wear it as armor, they can't hurt me with it. It was before that line was ever spoken by Tyrion Lannister, but it was basically that premise.
Yeah.
So back to the childhood thing. I decided the next time we practice a song, because we have to practice a song again, I basically did the exact same voice and face that kid did to the girl next to me, who, yeah, sure enough, laughed at it. And then I looked over at the boy just to see if he was going to do anything else interesting that I could steal. And he was glaring at me like daggers, as much as a 7 or 8 year old can glare. That kid was glaring, and I just froze and felt so bad, because I was like, oh, I stole that from him. Like, that was literally my mindset. I was just like, I just wanted them to like me, but I am a thief. I am bad. I have failed my parents. They're never going to want to be my friend ever again. Like, it just it spiraled into just that. And I never mimicked that kid again. Because I was like, no, it's not worth it. Even though he what he does gets the laughs, people like what he does, I cannot do that again. I cannot risk such shame.
shame.
It was, yeah. So that's my first one.
I do have some individual stories, but for me, so with the TISM, because there's masking and all that kind of thing, when you're late diagnosed, like, as a child, I didn't know what masking was. Mm-hmm. And so I was constantly confused, like, why is everyone fake but me? Because I can also see, like, everybody else, I could tell it was a mask for people. Mm-hmm. But, like, what I consider masking is what other people consider social skills. It's just that they're, like, using them unaware of the fact that, like, you're creating that identity. Like, they're pulling pieces and then being like, this is me. And I'm like, I saw where you got each and every one of those pieces. What do you mean that that's you? And so, for me, there was this one kid who was and is a genuinely bad person. I will die. I will take that belief to my grave. This is the hill I will die on. Bad person. This guy, we'll call him Justin. That was not his name. We know a great Justin. So, Justin, if you're listening, it's not you.
Justin, we love you. It's a different one who is not actually Justin.
We love you so much, Justin. No. Justin, not Justin. That's his full name. He was a complete bully. He had, like, a younger brother by a lot. Like, this kid was probably 16 when we first met him, and I think his youngest sibling was 6 or something like that. And he and another guy we knew, we'll call him Reggie, would, like, severely bully this kid, like, get, like, physically push him down, punch him. Like, it's a 6-year-old and a 16-year-old, and the other guy was probably 14. These guys were more than half of this child's age, and they would punch him, push him down, you know, stuff like that. And then the youngest kid was terrified of them. So anytime me or anyone else told a parent, like, yo, his older sibling and Reggie are beating him up, that's why he's bruised like that, they would lie, make up some reason, like, oh, no, he just fell down, blah, blah, blah. And the parents would believe them. And the little boy was so scared of them that he just wouldn't say anything. He wouldn't say yes or no.
See, if I were a parent and my kid was, that was happening, and the little kid didn't say, yeah, no, that happened, like, no, there's something
exactly.
wrong there.
Exactly. I don't know what it was about Justin that made people, like, want to believe him, but I used to call him Eddie Haskell because he would be like, you know, if you don't know who Eddie Haskell is, it's from Leave It to Beaver, and it's basically one of their neighbors would be like, real sweet and normal, hello, Miss blah blah blah, I'm a polite little boy from the 50s, and then people would leave and he would do awful things and then get other people in trouble for it, and immediately, like, a parent would walk in the middle of them doing it, and Eddie Haskell would be like, oh, hi, Mrs. such and such, I tried to stop him. And that's exactly how Justin was. And I was very vocal about it. It blew my mind that people couldn't tell every time he talked he was lying or anything. Like, they weren't, their pattern recognition wasn't mine. So I'm like, how do you not see that his hand is messed up and his face is messed up? Like, clearly he punched him. Like, I would just see all these things. And I would say it to all the parents, to my parents. I was insistent. Like, no, Justin is a bad person. And Reggie sucks too. But Justin's way old enough to know, and the relative of this kid. And so, like, that was something from my childhood that, like, wasn't like, oops, I did something and it was neurodivergence. But, like, that story has always stuck with me. Because that's been a pattern for me of saying, this is true. Here is why it's true. Here is how it's true. Here is how it connects. And people going, I don't want it to be true, and I don't see things the way you do, so it's not. Basically, very long story short, this is the kid I'm sure I've told stories about, that, like, I, much younger than them, was probably 12 11, I decided, fine, I'll get in fist fights with you every time. And, like, I would physically stand up for this kid and like all these other kids.
Yeah.
By the way, I never lost. I won every time, which is amazing and wonderful. And I'm so proud of myself for beating a 16-year-old.
Good for you. Yeah.
At 12. Yeah, great. And a 14-year-old, but he was a breeze. but like, yeah, I would like stand up for all these people. But the thing is, I wouldn't lie about it. Like if a parent asked me, like, did you do this? I would say yes. And the funny thing is, like, they either never asked about it, because I would like either hit in places where I knew he'd be like really embarrassed to talk about it, you know, or like if he had bruised ribs or something like that, who wants to say a 12-year-old, you know, like, oh yeah, like a 12-year-old bruised my ribs or something like that. And again, he would always start it. I would never pick fights. It was literally like, oh, you're punching this 6-year-old. I'm going to intervene. Kind of fist fights.
Yeah.
But like I would do that. And then if I told parents outright, which sometimes I did, I'd be like, hey, this happened and we got in a fight. They would straight up not believe me because they were like, there's no way you can beat a 16-year-old boy and stuff like that. But that kind of worked out in my favor because I'm like, cool, I can keep doing it and no one will care. So that's like this weird thing that even my ASD therapist was like, for some reason, there's something about ASD children that they are the most truthful and the least believed. And so like that's been a thing that happened. But anyway, I know that's not specific, but it also kind of is. Oh, but then months and months later, this kid was found out for doing something. I don't remember what it was. It wasn't like go to prison worthy or anything. It was just like, oh, you are the worst. And all the parents were like, it's not that we didn't believe you. And like immediately we're like, no, it's not that we didn't believe you. We just wanted to like see it for ourselves. And I'm like, literally all of you did not believe me for months. You're welcome. And so like for the rest of my childhood, if I was bringing something very truthful to my parents, I would be like, do you remember Justin? It's happening again. And they still would be like, no, it's not the same, blah, blah, blah. And again, down the road, the thing would be true every time. And to be like, we did not believe you. So I don't know what that is, but that's a very weird, specific to like neurodivergent child things.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah. I don't understand the, well, you're a child, so I'm automatically not going to believe you kind of a thing. And it's like, but why not? Like, why not? Especially the kids that they're like, oh, they're like little professors. Oh, they're like little adults. I got little adult a lot.
Oh, same, dude. Self-watering plant.
Yep.
The easy one.
The easy baby. I was perfectly willing to go to my room and stay there for the day by myself in my room doing nothing. Yeah. Or, well, I was actually just pretending. But the thing is, and this is another apparently weird little neurodivergent quirk.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this is a good question for you. Did you ever do that thing where you, instead of like acting out, playing with dolls and things, you just set them up as a diorama?
Oh, and then absolutely. Took it down
and then did another one? Okay.
Totally. And if I didn't like leave them set up in a scene when I was done, I like couldn't sleep at night. I would think about it. Like they're just strewn about the house. It was like a doll house or something, I'd be like, they're not in their seats. Why are they not in their seats? Yeah.
There was a very distinct period of time. I remember before I could do anything, I'm pretty sure it was like summertime or I don't know. Before I could do anything, like leave my room, I had to make sure that whatever I was going to do, they would be doing something similar or the same thing. That way, everything was right, if that was the case or whatever. And again, yeah, you can't leave them in the kitchen at nighttime. They have to go to bed, okay?
Yeah. Yes.
And I would get very, very upset if anyone ever like messed with my little, they are legitimate dioramas, because I would cover my entire floor with these elaborate scenes and then I would just look at it. And then I would redo it.
It is perfection. Round two.
Exactly. It was literally like, that is all I needed. They are, I see the perfect comic book picture in my head. So that's all I need. No one else needs to see it. No one else can see it. If you open the door, you will knock over the horse stall and I can't have that again.
Yes.
Do not come in if my door is closed. I remember telling people that.
I was not the like get out of bed a billion times a night kind of difficult to put to bed baby, but I promise it was brutal at bedtime for me because, to your point, we had at least in the everywhere, but I did this everywhere, but the closet that I'm thinking of, we had like built-in shoe cubbies in a line and then like a shelf across the top.
Ooh.
And I believed every single stuffed animal had an emotion. Much mm-hmm. older than most of them believe, most people believe that, because it has a face.
Right.
All faces look flat to me. And so how am I supposed to know mm-hmm. that this thing with eyes and a nose is dead and this other thing is not? Doesn't make sense.
Right.
Because I don't see facial expression anyway. So we'll like emotionally imprint on things because it has a face and that's the rule.
Yeah.
And so like I knew in my brain which stuffed animals were friends with each other, which stuffed animals were not friends with each other, and each like shoe cubby was not for shoes. No, it was my stuffed animal neighborhood. And so the ones who liked each other would be like in this exact specific order, and like the tiny mouse would sit in the bear's lap, and like aww. Each individual thing had a place, and I would be like in a hurry to get everyone tucked in exactly in their cubbies before bed if I'd played with them. And if they weren't done before I was like supposed to go to bed, I would make my dad do it. I would be like, no, they're not tucked in. They're not in their place. I will not be able to sleep unless everything's in their place. So I would just like be directing my dad like, no, the mouse goes in the bear's lap. You have to put the mouse in the bear's lap until everything was where I wanted it to be. And then I could sleep. So yes, can relate.
Yeah, I'm not even going to front with you, because yes, that happened in childhood. So I got the Finch app, which I highly recommend to anyone. If you haven't seen our other recommendations of it, it's amazing. It's basically like a habit tracker, yes, but also self-care and just goal setter. And you get a little mm-hmm. cartoon bird that you can then feed energy anytime you complete a task. And then it goes on a little adventure, and then it gets you a present, and then you can dress it up, and you can just, it grows, and it's great. I love it so much.
So cute.
But it like asked me, and this is another thing that it asks you things every now and again. It'll ask you like a question, and then you have to like grow it as a person as well. You have to give it feelings.
So cute.
And it was like, why are your wings so different than mine? And I answered it, and then it like grew a little bit, and I kid you not, I began to cry. And I was like, why? Why is this? I don't understand. What is happening? Like,
so cute.
I was like, I don't know what's going on. Aww. And then I cried again. This is all today, mind you. I cried again because you can like be in like, you can build your little neighborhood. And so if you have like a friend who also has a finch, that's what they're called, finches, but they look like penguins.
Yeah, that part is a little interesting.
It is. But, I mean, it's a decision, but it's one that they made. I just stated purely fact right there.
Yeah. That reminds me of Michael Scott saying, look where it is and you'll find it.
But, and so I, like, added Maddie on, like, the little code thingy. And it was like, do you want to send, do you mind if I say your Finch's name?
Not at all.
Okay. Do you want to send Pancake a hug? And I was like, I do want to send Pancake a hug. And then I hit the little thing, and I was happy about it. And then it asked me to reflect on that action, because you can get more emotion if you like jot down your feelings, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I really enjoyed that, and now I am crying.
Oh.
It's literally just a stream of consciousness, exactly what's going on. And I'm like, I'm going to try and stay with this emotion and figure out its origin. I guess I'm going to get there eventually.
Oh.
It just,
I guess that's what the reflection note is for.
Yeah, I think so. It's maybe.
Have you done so if you don't have it, before you log in, it'll ask you like, it'll have kind of like an emotion wheel almost, but it's just in a row, mm-hmm. and it'll be like, how are you? And you click like a sad face, a medium face, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you clicked a sad-ish face yet?
No, I've only done neutral or happy.
Okay. So if you're in like the unhappier range, it's really cute, because when you go in, there will be this little sentence that will usually say something helpful. It's not the same every time, but it'll be like, you know, like, remember a time when you thought you'd never be happy again and you were, or something like that, which is really cute.
Aww.
But then it has a little Band-Aid button you can click on that says first aid, and you click on it, and it's like a whole list of like breathing exercise for anxiety for you to follow, and like all kinds of stuff, which I think is really sweet.
I thought so,
it's
too.
It's such a good app.
I actually, I used, so technically, I downloaded this app like yesterday, and then I just didn't get around to finishing it because like a bunch of things happened. Mm-hmm. And then I had a medical occurrence in the night, and so I wound up waking mm-hmm. up like it just dead sleep, and sat there and literally just journaled and did stuff on the Finch app until for like 3 hours until I felt better.
Yeah, so I love that.
It was great because like the anxiety like calmed down. It does help. It really does mm-hmm. help. And I was like, this is magical. So yes, that is our unpaid endorsement for Finch. Yes. The great thing is, it is like you can use essentially all of the features that you need to use for free. Mm-hmm. If you want to pay like a monthly or yearly subscription, you can. But it's like they wanted it to be supported by people who want to support it. And I'm like, I like this.
Yeah, I agree. It is my very favorite app. Finch, sponsor us.
Yeah, you can if you want to.
It's so good.
Like we would love to sing your praises more. We're still going to do it for free.
We're
going to
sing.
We're going to do it.
Are you comfortable telling me your, I haven't figured out how to check the friends thing yet. I need to mess with that today, but. Are you comfortable telling me your bird's name?
Yes, it is. I just named her Penny because, I don't know, it just seemed correct. I thought it was interesting that we both chose a P name.
I was going to say, Penny and Pancake.
I'm like, I like this because subconsciously we are like Penguin.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it has to be.
Yep. We're like,
Pancake the Penguin.
This is a penguin. Oh man.
Oh gosh.
But yeah, there's just honestly we could do two parts of this as far as the neurodivergent childhood stories, and you know what? We're going to. So come back tomorrow if you want to hear more of our neurodivergent stories from childhood that turned out to be our neurodivergence in action but nobody realized until now.
Yes. Perfectly described. Love that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Give us a rating that you think is fair, and we will see you here tomorrow because we will be here and we hope you are too. Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Get Finch, you'll like it.